In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you today about a hero of the faith. It comes from the life and work of Lilias Trotter, a biography written by Patricia St. John. Now, it's spelled St. John, but I understand that the British pronunciation is St. John. And the biography is called Until the Day Breaks. And she tells this story. Lilias, Blanche, and Helen — this is Lilias Trotter and her two colleagues in North Africa. They were missionaries in North Africa back early in this century — were beginning to realize that the work was expanding far beyond the care of individual souls, although this need was always given priority. The need for suitable literature was becoming acute, and Lilias was spending hours writing tracts with Arab backgrounds and subject matter. These were printed on their rather primitive duplicating machine and distributed once a month in the cafes around the town. This work was greatly facilitated, and its outreach enormously increased and made available to missionaries all over the world when the Nile Mission Press in Cairo took over the publishing. Later on, after Lilias's visit to Sweden, the group was presented with a new, efficient press of their own. Another great step forward about this time was the translation of the New Testament from classical into colloquial Arabic. This work had been done by a Swedish missionary, Martin Nyström, a remarkable scholar who had sacrificed a brilliant career to become an obscure evangelist in Palestine. Later, he had moved to Algeria, where the aim of his life became to translate the Bible, then only to be obtained in the stately classical, not understood by the illiterate, into a language that Arab mothers could read to their children. He was one of the earliest friends of Lilias and her group, and she described him as she first remembered him: a great, gaunt northerner, his hair already white with brain work, although not much over 40. He used to go about with his pockets full of sugar for the children, a child himself in simplicity and humility. "He can speak 17 languages and read 25, whispered his little wife one day, "but don't tell him I told you." His very conscientiousness made the translation go extremely slowly. He would go round and round the native cafes, listening to the people talking among themselves, verifying the best colloquial expression. I forget how long he took over getting equivalents for the jewels in the heavenly foundation stones, but the weeks ran well into months. While we, in conjunction with members of the North Africa Mission, worked on the revision of the manuscript, Dr. Nyström himself, with failing health, was struggling over the last pages of his translation, sometimes so nearly collapsing with the effort that his wife would find him almost unconscious at his desk and wonder if he had died. The last time I saw him, he was still at his writing table, a mere ghost to look at, his hands so twisted with rheumatism that he could barely form one painful letter after another. He was at the seventh of Revelation, and I wondered if he would live to finish it. He did. The last Amen was written, and he laid down his pen and said, "It is done." In less than a week, he became unconscious, but just before he died, he rallied, and there came the echo of his finished apocalypse: "He is coming. Come, Lord Jesus." They were his last words. And we believe that in that sowing in prostrate weakness will be the measure of the raising in power. That's the end of the quotation from Lilias Trotter's book. Again, the title of the book is Until the Day Breaks. It's a beautifully written story of a brave, courageous young Englishwoman, Lilias Trotter, who founded the North Africa Mission and was herself, I believe, the first British missionary to work in Algiers. But I chose this particular story, calling Martin Nystrom a hero, for a special reason. It's not a dramatic story. He wasn't faced with lions or tigers or cannibals. He didn't live in a thatched roof hut or go into very difficult jungle terrain. He sat on a chair at his table, painstakingly translating the New Testament into colloquial Arabic. Sometimes we think of the heroes of the faith as being people who do exploits for God. Well, only God knows who will be first in the kingdom of heaven. He tells us that the last will be first and the first last. And I would refer again to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, that chapter that's often called the gallery of the heroes of faith. And it does begin with some heroes that we're all familiar with, people like Noah and Abraham, who, when the test came, offered up Isaac, for he reckoned that God had power even to raise from the dead. It talks about Moses preferring to suffer hardship with the people of God rather than enjoy the transient pleasures of sin. He considered the stigma that rests on God's anointed greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for his eyes were fixed upon that coming day of recompense. By faith he left Egypt, and not because he feared the king's anger, for he was resolute as one who saw the invisible God. Moses, a hero who had no fear except the fear of God. And it goes on to speak of the walls of Jericho falling down after the seven-day march. And then the writer says in verse 32 of Hebrews 11, "Need I say more? Time is too short for me to tell the stories of Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets. Through faith, they overthrew kingdoms, established justice, saw God's promises fulfilled. They muzzled ravening lions, quenched the fury of fire, escaped death by the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They grew powerful in war. They put foreign armies to rout. Women received back their dead, raised to life." And that's where the dramatic and triumphant stories end. And in verse 35, we read, "And others were tortured to death, disdaining release to win a better resurrection. Others again had to face jeers and flogging, even fetters and prison bars. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were put to the sword. They went about dressed in skins of sheep or goats in poverty, distress, and misery. They were too good for a world like this. They were refugees in deserts and on the hills, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. These also, one and all, are commemorated for their faith. And yet they did not enter upon the promised inheritance, because with us in mind, God had made a better plan, that only in company with us should they reach their perfection." And that's the part that I want to leave with you, especially this today. Only in company with us. With us ordinary folks who do ordinary jobs and live in ordinary houses. And the writer of the Hebrews goes on immediately to say, "And what of ourselves? With all these witnesses to faith around us like a cloud, we must throw off every encumbrance, every sin to which we cling, and run with resolution the race for which we are entered. Our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom faith depends from start to finish." I love that phrase, "on whom faith depends from start to finish." Jesus is the source and the goal of my faith. So, what of us? What of you? What is the race that you have to run today? Well, God wants you to run that race with eyes fixed on Him. One of the many people who write to me was Dan Hunt, a sheet metal worker from Skaneateles, New York. He said it would take a 20-page letter to tell you all the ways and principles we have in common. Only in Christ could a 60-some-year-old grandmother and author have so much in common with a 35-year-old sheet metal worker, father of two. And he even refers to my newsletter as having an influence on his family and on his nieces and nephews. So thank you, Dan, for that encouragement. And as a sheet metal worker, he has a race to run too, with eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.